Our thoughts and prayers are with all the families who have lost loved ones and are still looking for their loved ones to be found in the Texas Hill Country as we remember seeing the terrible scenes of the flooding of the Guadalupe River. As of today, and I'm recording this Tuesday, there have been over 100 deaths due to that flash flooding there in Texas Hill Country. And of the many that were killed and still missing are girl campers and their counselors. What a tragedy. And so this deadly tragedy has brought again the age-old question to the forefront. Why would a good and all-powerful God allow suffering and evil to exist? I've already heard on newscast this question being raised. And of course, the atheist put forth the argument, this is actually their main argument that they use, that a good and all-powerful God would not allow suffering and evil to exist. And thus they conclude, since suffering and evil exist, that a good and all-powerful loving God does not exist. Well, that argument is very easily answered, as you can go to 1 John chapter 4 and notice verse 8. Certainly this just wipes away their argument. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Verse 16, and ye have known and believest the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Now, the reason I say that answers the atheist argument, in fact, it wipes it out, is because since God is love, he allows us to choose. And when we make bad choices, there's going to be evil and suffering in the world. And we want to study more about this, and we'll begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. Remember the initials, PFE, and that will help us to continue each day striving to prepare for eternity, to be with God and all the faithful. Now, at this time, we would like to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville, as yes, we come together in our Bible classes to study the precious Word of God. And then as we assemble together to worship God, we're striving to do so in accordance to the New Testament pattern, that's in truth, but also with a proper attitude, that's in spirit, John 4:24. I can assure you, you will receive a very warm welcome. Something else we want to mention, if you're interested in having a Bible study, we look forward to those opportunities. We have Bible correspondence courses. We are signing people up at the fair as of Tuesday. And again, this will be broadcast Sunday. But I enjoyed meeting a number of people there at our fair booth. But the point is, if you're interested in studying the Bible, we are ready and waiting and willing to help you in that endeavor. So please let us know if you have Bible questions or comments, positive or negative, they're always welcome. So again, you can write to us, that's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. There you'll find our radio sermons and, of course, our bulletins as well. Now, let's get into our study concerning this question. Why not turn to God instead of blaming or doubting God for our suffering? Yes, and in the past we've studied causes of suffering, such as living in a sinful world, and we'll discuss that more again. God working in the lives of His children. Discipline, yes. God disciplines His children, just as loving parents discipline their children. Transition from this life to the next, that can cause suffering. Losing a loved one, certainly. Refusing to obey the gracious invitation of the Lord, that causes suffering. Yes, and there's going to be eternal suffering because of that. And there are some causes of suffering we may not know the cause. We may not have an answer. You know, Job's wife advised him, if he retained his integrity, then she said, curse God and die. Well, that's not proper advice, of course not. But you know, how many are there today who have the same mindset as Job's wife? They blame God for their suffering. Well, Job's suffering didn't come from God. It came from Satan. Remember that? If you studied the book of Job, you know that's the case. So why not turn to God instead of blaming or doubting God, as is the case for some, for our suffering? You know, man, in his ignorance and selfish desires, he may blame God for his evil circumstances and for his own failures even. But here's the fact. God is absolute holy. He is absolute just. He is absolutely perfect in every way. Let us not forget that. In our text this morning, we're going to go to Luke 13. Notice with me the first five verses. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or, here's verse 4, those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? What a terrible accident. A tower falls and kills 18 people, just like the flash flood killed over 100. It's terrible. It's an accident. Accidents like the tower and natural disasters like that flash flood, yes, it brings forth suffering, no question about it. And here, the ones that Pilate had killed, you see in the first verse, certainly that was tragic as well. But Jesus goes on to say, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So we don't want to perish for eternity. We need, of course, to obey the gospel of Christ. Now, the point of this scripture certainly is showing us that, yes, it's a terrible thing when these accidents or natural disasters happen. But what's even worse? Yes, the fires of hell for eternity. That's the point Jesus is making. So we need to obey the gospel, which includes repentance. And again, why not turn to God instead of blaming God and doubting God? Instead of blaming God or doubting God, man needs to realize that disobedience to God is sinful and brought evil and suffering into the world. That's right. Yes, here's some of the results of man's fall from paradise, which caused suffering. Ignorance is a cause of suffering. All of us have been hurt by not knowing something was wrong, drinking bad water, eating contaminated food. Those are examples of this type of suffering. A mother can take medication which hurts her and the unborn child without knowing it was harmful. Of course, if man had not fallen from paradise, you wouldn't have medicine, wouldn't need it, wouldn't be hurt, wouldn't have any contaminated food and bad water and so forth. But here's another cause to think about. As we mentioned earlier, accidents like that tower in Siloam that killed 18 people, it caused suffering there in Luke 13:4. But again, Jesus used that example to show that these people were not being punished by God's judgment. It was an accident. These accidents started happening when? After man fell and lost paradise. You know, Job's friends thought he was being punished by God for his sins. Remember that? All of us have been hurt by falling, bumping into something, being cut by a sharp object. Of course, automobile accidents can kill and injure people, even injure people for life. Do we not know of some who have died because of automobile accidents? Terrible injuries have occurred to people we know. Perhaps we ourselves have been involved. And here's another cause. Natural disasters, certainly with the flash flood. We know of tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, tidal waves. Yes, wildfires, mudslides, droughts, diseases caused by insects and microorganisms. Remember COVID-19 and others that we could name. And they result in many deaths and suffering. Well, what about the universal flood in the days of Noah? That was not natural. No, that was not natural, but the after effects have no doubt been the cause of the natural disasters that we just mentioned. If you go back and study Genesis 7:11 through chapter 8, verse 14, those floodwaters, as they rescinded, they left behind marks. And certainly we can see the results of what the flood did. It cleansed the earth. There were no more souls left but Noah and his wife and his children and their wives. 8 souls were saved by water. And that was, again, God's bringing that judgment upon man who was thinking on evil continually. That his thoughts were just on evil continually. And had God not destroyed mankind except for Noah's family, what would have happened? Man would have destroyed himself. So we need to understand things like this. So these three causes of suffering that we've just mentioned, ignorance, accidents, natural disasters, yes, that can be temporary and permanent. Now, are being careful and selective, you know, where we live? You don't want to live where there's a lot of flooding. You don't want to live where it's tornado alley and where hurricanes are likely to hit. You can choose not to live in these places. Being selective, that helps to lower the rate of accidents, perhaps. But it cannot guarantee us a life free of accidents, diseases, and disasters. That's right. We can live in an environment in which, well, we do live in an environment. Let me clarify that. We do live in an environment in which we can freely accept or reject God's will. Now, here we're getting to the point. We need to remember life on earth is brief and it's uncertain. James 4:14 reminds us, our life appears for a little time and then it vanishes away like a vapor. It's gone. it's quick. Once you get on up in years, you realize how quick time is going by, especially when you get up in your 70s, 80s, 90s, and so forth. So, providing an ideal environment in which mankind can freely choose to obey or not to obey God means wrong choices, yes, causing immediate or future changes to specific conditions. Now think about this. Again, we're going back to answering the atheist argument. God is love, and thus he gives us a choice. Now, if he didn't give us a choice, how would you like to be a puppet on a string? You have no way of choosing what to do. You call that life? No, that's not life. And when God gave us the choice, as he is love, then we need to understand there's going to be wrong choices. And when you make wrong choices, there's going to be terrible consequences on occasions. In fact, a lot, as we see in the world today. So in other words, disobeying God has consequences that are not good. And I emphasize, not good. So again, instead of blaming or criticizing God, doubting God, why not be a solution to overcoming the problems of suffering? Remember in Judges 6:13, Gideon said, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us?" Well, they were in captivity of the Midianites, and they brought it on themselves. Gideon didn't realize that, I guess. Well, God challenged Gideon to deliver Israel from the Midianite oppression. And you'll see God gave Gideon evidence that this was coming from him. and so verification along with revelation. But the point is, you see, God had mercy on his people after they cried to him. But again, it was their fault for being in this oppression. But in the book of Judges, you can see how God raised up a leader, a judge, a deliverer, like Gideon. And of course, you had other judges like Samson. And you can study those. But it's like a roller coaster ride where God's people were going back into idolatry and things like that. God had to discipline them. Stop that. So we need to understand these situations as they really are and not question God as we often do. And realize God knows best. He's perfect, knows everything. Let's trust him instead of doubting, questioning. You know, the sins of others causes suffering. Let's talk about this. The sins of Pilate caused innocent people to be killed. Luke 13:3, we read earlier. Pharaoh, remember how he wanted to toss the male babies in the Nile River? Moses was saved by Pharaoh's daughter, having been in the ark there, and she had compassion and took him into Pharaoh's household. Remember King Herod had children 2 years old and under killed. He was afraid of losing his throne. Jesus didn't come to take his throne on the earth. Jesus' throne is in heaven. He was badly mistaken and killed innocent children because of his ignorance of the will of God. And how many people are killing children today because they don't want offspring. They don't want to take responsibility for their actions. Well, it's taking the innocent life. Why don't they call it pro-death instead of pro-choice? Remember Hitler, Adolf Hitler? How many innocent people did he have killed? And evil leaders, drunk drivers, abusers of children, and persecutors of Christians we could talk about. the sins of others causes suffering is the point. But here's another statement I need to make. The sins of Bob Hawkins causes suffering. My sins cause my parents to suffer and others. But the greatest suffering I have caused is that of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, my sins caused Him to suffer on the cruel cross of Calvary. But so did yours. Is that not true? Well, study Isaiah 53:3-7. 1 Peter 2:21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps." 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Now, with the time left, let's talk about lessons to apply to our lives from the present tragedy of this flash flooding in Texas. Of course, our hearts go out to the family members who have lost loved ones, those who have been injured, and those who have lost their homes and their businesses are affected and without power. Of course, we need to pray for all of those that are suffering. And this can also remind us of just how important one precious soul is to God. Remember Matthew 16:24-26. Yes, one soul worth more than all the world. John 3:16, we all should know that verse. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's the love of God we need to focus on. How many people were involved in different activities? Most were sleeping when the flood hit, and unprepared for what happened, and were swept away. Well, perhaps some were trying to help and do the right thing, and perhaps some were just unexpected, as we said, sleeping or whatever. But the lesson here is, were they prepared to die? Some may not have been of the age of accountability. We certainly want to mention that. They would be safe in the arms of the Lord. But what about those that were of the age of accountability that were not prepared? How many people throughout our great country are living in sin despite God's warnings? And how many will be unprepared to meet the Lord when He returns? Remember in Amos 4:12, "Prepare to meet thy God." Matthew 25, how many were unprepared? Of the virgins, the 10 virgins. And of course, for those who are prepared, certainly we look forward to the coming of Christ, knowing He has prepared for us a place in heaven. John 4:1-3. So we need to examine ourselves. Yes. Since we cannot be sure of our next breath, let alone a tomorrow, should we not be concerned about being prepared to die? Yes, death is coming unless Jesus comes in our lifetime. Hebrews 9:27. "It's appointed unto man once to die, after this to judgment." And so we need to be prepared when Jesus comes again, or when we're going to take that last breath. Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." It certainly is. Well, let's have the attitude of Paul. He certainly was prepared to die and 2 Timothy chapter 4. Notice this with me. 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Let's be of those that love his appearing. Yes. So as we remember past tragedies and the one present, we're moved by tears when we see the graphic camera shots and victims and the listening to the survivors' accounts and the rescue workers' efforts. And yes, it brings us to tears. But let's ask ourselves, do we allow our hearts to be pricked by the Word of God? James 1:21. And do we as Christians earnestly think about how Jesus suffered and died for us as we partake of the Lord's Supper? Yes, 1 Corinthians 11:23-32. Study Isaiah 53 concerning the suffering Savior. Now, another lesson here is do not all of us want to see those in need be comforted and given the help which they so desperately need, perhaps contributing monetarily? Some are volunteering when it's proper for them to help out in various areas. That's going to be made known. Things like that, yes. But do we as Christians earnestly think about how Jesus left us an example of wanting to teach a lost soul the gospel of Christ? How that soul is worth more than all the world? We need to think about that as well as uniting as Americans, sending relief aid and providing food, clothing, and shelter, of course, to our fellow Americans. But unite as God's people to keep all the families who are grieving in our prayers, yes, but also to submit to the authority of Christ and to glorify God in all that we say and do, John 17:20-23, Acts 4:12, Colossians 3:17. So let's never blame God, and we shouldn't doubt God, but be involved in overcoming our suffering and helping others who are suffering. Christians should not think that God will guard them from any and all suffering. Of course not. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, Jesus said in John 16:33. 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's coming. Why not turn to God instead of blaming God? Despite our suffering, as we've studied, we stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel, hearing the truth, believing that Jesus is the Christ, repenting of our sins, and making the good confession, and then we're ready to be immersed into the watery grave of baptism, contacting the blood of Christ. And we thank you so much for listening today.